Okay. Next case, please.
The next application is 11,971. Patricia A. Barthames seeks variances from the minimum lot size requirement, section 115-34 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the east side of Lagoon Lane. It's both approximately 150 feet southwest of Bayhaven Road, and it's at the corner of that as well. The 911 address is 37735 Lagoon Lane, Ocean View. The zoning district is MR. The tax maps are District 134, Map 8, parcels 140.04 and 140.05. Specifically, they're requesting variances of 1,153 square feet for lot size, a variance of 929 square feet for lot size, 1,172 square feet, and 610 square feet from lot sizes. Received no letters in support. We received one mail return. We received five letters in opposition. One is from Alan and Lori LaPointe. They are property owners, and that they are opposed to the granting of the variance for four reasons, one of which is drainage, the substandard right-of-way, sewer problems, setting a negative precedent, and traffic, so they're opposed to that. We also received one. They also had concern with drainage, that the parcel is a lower elevation than the immediate neighborhood and totally floods with any significant nor'easter or hurricane. They had concerns about a drainage ditch or a tax ditch behind it and who maintains that. They also were concerned about the substandard right-of-way, that these lots would be off of Lagoon Lane, which is a private road that is 30 feet wide instead of 50 foot, that it is a dead-end street and does not allow any in-street parking. So they had concerns about that. They also had concerns about sewer capacity, that no matter whether single-family townhouses or apartments, it's four units to an acre, and they're concerned about that as they believe there's already an existing apartment building on the premises. So they're concerned about the density for the sewer usage. They're concerned about setting a negative impact for our precedent for the neighborhood, that the lots in Rogers Haven are a charming older community where most of the lots are well over a half acre. The applicant states the lots are smaller, wouldn't alter, as the property is on the private road, as these properties are 5,000 square feet, that they believe the applicant fails to state that those are small lots on their canal front lots, and that so they have concerns about that. And then they also had concerns about the hardship, and that was written by Constant Bond. I also have another letter that they had concerns about the lot size, about the request on the lot size. They're concerned with flooding, especially on Lagoon Lane. They're concerned about the density that the variance could create, and the number of impervious surface regarding houses, sheds, garages, driveways, and parking, about runoff and the drainage ditch that now helps alleviate flooding but can't handle the current runoff. So they have concerns about that. They would actually prefer three lots instead of four lots, and that's Kay William and Ruth O. Myers. And then we also have another letter that they're in opposition, that they have concerns about the minimum lot size, that it appears that the lots are, one lot is 17,200 square feet, and the other one is 18,100 square feet. They note that the minimum requirement is 10,000 square feet for lot size, so they're just a little short to allow for the minimum lot size. They're also concerned about road frontage. So that was their most of their concerns, and that was Beth Turner Cumby. And then another letter, they were concerned about flooding because the neighborhood is very low, and then with high tide, the lot fills up. They concerned about, were the buildings to be raised, how that would impact the properties, sewer lines, that they were just about sewer capacity, if there was enough sewer capacity and the electrical capacity. And then they were also concerned about overbuilding and overdevelopment, and that was signed by the Powells. Thank you. Thank you.
And then letter B, total four?
It's five.
Five.
Good evening, can you state your name and address for the record?
Tricia A. Blackmas, the address of the house, 37335, Lagoon Lane, Milton.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I sure do.
Thank you.
Good evening, again.
Good evening, again, just for the purposes of the record for this application. My name is David Hutt, local attorney here in Georgetown with Morris James Wilson Hubbard Combired. On this third application in your public hearing section of your agenda, I'm representing Patricia A. Barthelmess, who was just sworn in, and she is the owner of two lots adjacent to each other on Lagoon Lane, right by where it intersects Bay Haven Road. And one of the two lots is highlighted on the screens that are looking throughout the building. A moment ago, I handed an exhibit notebook to Ms. Walls, which has, among other things, the proposed site plan, as well as a letter of support from the neighbor who lives adjacent to this property and close to the closest to White's Creek. Tonight's application, as was read into the record, is for a variance from the minimum lot size requirements of Section 115-34 of the Sussex County Code. And just to help orient people, as I mentioned a moment ago, these two lots are located, as shown on the screen, but they are located, the road that is below them is Lagoon Lane, and the road that is on the left-hand side, as the screen is being highlighted on those screens, is Bay Haven Road. The Barthelmesses purchased the properties in 1982. The current deed for the property is, or properties, one for each lot, is included in your exhibit notebook at tab 2 as A and B. And you'll see that in 2002, Mr. Barthelmess conveyed his interest in both of those lots to Ms. Barthelmess, who's here with us tonight, and she is now the owner of both of those properties. The third tab in your exhibit notebook, it looks very similar to what you see on the screen. Again, it's the tax map for Sussex County, the first again being just the tax map, the second showing the aerial imagery, which is the view that's on the screen, and then the third tax map shows the zoning for the property. And as you look at the zoning, you'll see that it's all bright yellow. And as you're familiar with, that is for MR, medium density residential. The other tax maps are simply the same tax maps, but to give you a greater perspective of the surrounding area and community, they just take in a wider view of the property. The fourth tab is the Google Earth imagery without all of the tax map lines and zoning marks, so it's easier to see what the property actually looks like from an aerial image view without all of the county lines across the property. And as you'll see right about the middle of the page, there is a thumbtack with the site located, and Lagoon Lane is also identified on that tab. As was indicated at the outset, the application is for both Sussex County Tax Parcel 140.05 and 140.04. Currently, Parcel 140.04 is improved with a structure that has three apartment units in it, and they are currently leased to three single parties or single individuals. The other parcel, Parcel 140.05, is a vacant piece of property. Tonight's variance application, as was read into the record, is for a variance from the minimum lot area, and specifically, as you know, the minimum lot area in a medium density residential community is 10,000 square feet, and the minimum road frontage is 75 feet. Each of the lots will comply with the minimum road frontage, but the lots do not meet the 10,000 square foot requirement. The lot closest to Bay Haven Road that's proposed would be 8,828 square feet. The next lot over will be 8,847. The third lot, as you travel down Lagoon Lane, would be 9,071 square feet, and the fourth lot would be 9,390 square feet. Those are all shown in your exhibit notebook. At tab 5 is the proposed layout of the reconfiguration of these two properties, and the also the proposed subdivision of them into four lots. As was noted, and as you can see when you look at the screen and the tax maps, each of these four proposed lots would be larger than the lots across the street. Those lots are generally just a touch over 5,000 square feet, whereas the smallest of the proposed lots tonight is a little more than 8,800 square feet. The letters of opposition and raised numerous questions and concern, and I would like to address several of those as part of the application. One of the letters specifically referenced that there was a rumor or something else in the community that this was going to be a multifamily townhouse condominium style project. And Ms. Barthelmess will confirm this in a moment, but that is simply not the case. The impetus for this application was that Ms. Barthelmess has two children and three grandchildren. And obviously the simple math is that that's five total individuals. In addition to the properties that you see on the screen, Ms. Barthelmess also owns another piece of property. With the four lots that are proposed and the additional piece of property which she owns, that would mean that in simple estate planning mechanisms, each individual would receive one piece of property. Thus, there is no plan to have multifamily structures. There's no plan to do anything on the property at the moment beyond getting it ready so that as part of the estate plan, each of the respective heirs or future heirs can have their own individual piece of property. Another concern mentioned in the letters related to drainage. And there is no doubt, as you look at this community and this area, that you can see its proximity to White's Creek, which is obviously part of what I'll call the greater Indian River Bay watershed or area. And as the board is familiar, in all coastal areas, these are typically low-lying areas that in significant storm events will experience flooding. As you can see, the proximity of these lots as well as the lots that are adjacent to it, they're basically right on White's Creek. And when there are successive high tides, there will most likely be flooding in this area because there has historically been flooding in this area. However, these are tidal concerns, and the tidal bodies that are affecting this, there's not going to be a difference in impact to those tidal bodies, whether there happens to be three units, four units, or two units there. The same water is going to move in with the tide and out with the tide, irrespective of the number of actual buildings or structures that are there along Lagoon Lane. Another concern, and I'm going to lump two of them together, was there were concerns in the letters regarding parking and road width. Mm-hmm. And just like with the drainage, neither the width of the road being Lagoon Lane nor the parking along Lagoon Lane, it changes regardless of whether all the same structures stay exactly as they are today or whether the board approves the variance application or not. The road width is going to stay the same regardless of the number of units that are there. And the county's parking requirements will have to be complied with, again, regardless of the actual number of lots that exist there. There was concerns raised about the capacity for sewer and other utilities in the area. And Ms. Barthelmess had a representative contact the utility providers, in particular Sussex County, with respect to sewer, and to find out whether or not there was adequate capacity in those systems for the proposed subdivision. And in fact, at that time, Ms. Barthelmess's original plan with this, probably more than a year ago, was to create five lots along Lagoon Lane. And I think if you were to look click carefully at the letters, somebody mentions in one of those letters that they don't meet the minimum lot width requirement because Ms. Barthelmess had shown the initial plan to several of her neighbors, and that is probably the plan that was referred to. Those lots were a lot when it was five lots, those lots were a lot closer in size to those on the opposite side of Lagoon Lane, and the thought process there was that with the five heirs, they would each have a property along Lagoon Lane. After talking with several of the neighbors, the application was reduced to comply with the minimum width requirements, and therefore the only variance that's necessary is the reduction in the lot size. But I say all that sort of a long explanation about sewer and utility to note that when it was going to be five lots, Ms. Barthelmess's representative contacted the utility providers and was told that there is adequate capacity within those systems to provide utilities for the proposed lots, and that's when it was five lots and not four lots. As the board knows, there are five factors for the granting of a variance. The first is the uniqueness of the property. And as I indicated several times as I was presenting the application, the minimum frontage for a lot in MR is 75 feet. And if you do simple math, you will note that that would mean if a lot was 75 feet wide that it has to have a minimum depth of 134 feet. If you look, this property is not 134, does not have that depth to it. It's a somewhat shallow lot, which is what prevents all of the various parcels from being able to meet the minimum lot size requirement. The second factor is that the property cannot otherwise be developed or the variance is necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property. And as I indicated as part of the first factor, the narrowness or shallowness of this lot, these two lots and parcels is what makes it necessary to enable the variance necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property. The third factor is that it was not created by the applicant, and there is the lots in what several of the letters refer to as Rogers Haven were created uniquely over time. The original subdivision plots date back to the 1950s and 60s and 70s, and then there is what I'll refer to as a hodgepodge of lots. The original subdivisions were the ones along the lagoon and some of the other ones where you see a little more structure and straight lines. And then as you spread out from those, the lots are of various sizes and shapes. And it appears as though the parties who owned them simply subdivided off pieces over time to individuals who were looking to buy a property in that general area. The fourth is that it will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. And as was mentioned, the lots range in size for the square footage from 8,800 square feet to 9,300 square feet in round numbers. And as I mentioned a moment ago, there is a various sizes and shapes of lots within this area. Across the street on Lagoon Lane, those lots are about 5,000 square feet. Across the street on Bay Haven Road, there's a lot that's 1 acre. If you were to travel, continue off screen, up, if you were looking over at the screens, there are several lots that are larger than this as well. And then there are others where in the front of the lot, new lots have been subdivided off. So as I indicated, this is a community that's been sort of piecemealed together, and there are various shapes and sizes of lots. This application is not the smallest lots and would provide a transition from the smallest lots to some of the bigger lots that lie beyond it. In addition, with respect to the character of the neighborhood, while there are letters of opposition, the sixth tab in the exhibit notebook is a letter from the Travellinis, who, as I indicated, are the property closest to the next property over as you would head towards White's Creek. And if you look at their letter, you will see that they were actually in support of the proposed plan to create five lots as well. The fifth factor is that is the minimum variance. And as has been discussed, the minimum width of a lot in the MR zoning district is 75 feet. And when you take that into account, this is the minimum by which these lots can be created with only the necessity of a variance for the square footage. I'm going to ask Ms. Barthelmess if she would at this time to come up here. You heard the application as I presented it tonight. Were all the facts that were set forth true and correct?
Yes.
And do you adopt those statements as your own?
Yes.
For all these reasons, Ms. Barthelmess asked that the board grant the requested variance in lot size. That concludes my presentation, and Ms. Barthelmess and I are available for any questions that members of the board may have.
All right. Thank you. Start with you, Mr. Mills.
I have no questions.
Okay, no questions. Mr. Rickard.
You said the concerns were that the area will be flooded. Is that correct? Is that what some of the concerns are, the flooding of the area?
That seemed to be a common theme of the letters.
Yeah, well, my goodness gracious. NREC will take care of that, whatever you put up and whatever you... They'll tell you what you have to do, and you must meet the flood zone in that area anyway, so I don't think that's an issue as far as our decisions are concerned.
I would agree that the Sussex Conservation District will have a say in
in
how that these sites and home sites are drained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's out of our category. Across the street, what is that? What's that development? Did you tell me what that was across the street? Is that where all those lots are across from Lagoon Road?
Where the cursor is right now?
No, across the street from the... yeah, right there. That's it.
Those are what are part of what's known as Rogers Haven.
That's it.
Which is sort of
I know the area, but I couldn't put my finger on what it was.
Again, it's a loosely connected group of lots.
Right. They're about, what are they, 70 feet wide, are they, or something like that? I don't know what the...
If you look at the
50.
Tax map,
50
most of
feet
them are
wide.
50 feet wide.
Yeah, the tax I know there's some development in there that's 50 feet.
At tab 3, you'll see that the lot on the corner between at the intersection of Lagoon and Bayhaven is 55 and a half feet.
There you go.
And then as you move back down, there it's pretty a consistent theme of 50 feet for each
right.
lot.
No other questions.
Okay. Mr. Bourbon?
The home going to stay there on the end, that one home?
Yes.
It's staying right there. Okay. No other questions.
Okay. Any further questions?
Yeah, just a couple. First off, will this go to planning and zoning for site plan review?
I believe it's going to have to go through as a major subdivision. I'd have to do a little bit more research just to see how many times it's already been subdivided, but it's either going to go through as a major subdivision or potentially it would just come through through the planning office for a subdivision.
And then I wasn't aware when I looked at it before, but that apartment, how was that approved to begin with? Was that a conditional use, Ms. Cornwell? Do you know?
We would have to do a little bit of research to determine how long it's been there and how it was created.
And I ask that because it looks like our supplemental regulations have a square foot
minimum
lot size requirements for
multifamily.
Apartments. Yeah, exactly. So if the applicant is seeking to do this subdivision in this way, it seems to me that even if the board were willing to approve it based on the lot size requirements, that there may need to be an additional variance for the fact that there's that multifamily unit because that's a different section. Is that your understanding as well? Because it looks like it'd be section 115-31. And then you go to table 2.
It would actually, the bulk requirements still fall under section 34, which then takes you back to the table.
Okay.
So if there was an additional variance required for lot size for the multifamily building, we could do that because that still falls under the minimum area height, area, and bulk requirements. It just, and that section of code also refers us back to that table at the back.
Okay. All right. Yeah, just looking at that, that jumped out at me as something that is an issue potentially. Mr. Hutt, do you know when that building was constructed?
I'll ask Ms. Barthelmess to answer that question.
The apartment building? Mm-hmm. It's 40-some years old. And the man that lived next door in the house built that for his two sons because he wanted them out. And he had an office downstairs, down the first floor, for he had was a builder.
Do you know if when that was in that was put up? You've only owned it for the last 17 years, is that
no,
right?
30-some.
You've owned it 30-some, I'm sorry. Yeah. Do you know if how that was approved to begin with? Do you know if it was a conditional use or how was that approved?
Also, I know it was somebody's, my husband's deceased, but I heard that it was, what do they call it, pre-grandfathered in or something like that.
Okay. All right. Well, perhaps.
It's the only apartment in Rogers Haven, but it's always been there.
Okay. Well, perhaps that might be something that the board wishes the office could investigate further just to find out a little more clarity.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Hearing no further questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Okay, could you see you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, do we have a spokesman or those that wish to speak?
12,
I'm sorry, I didn't see that lady. Those that would like to speak in opposition, please come forward at this time to be sworn in. Again, those that wish to speak, please come forward. Last call.
You can come up here, I'll swear you all in. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Dr. Patricia Miola, 37720 Woodland Lake, Ocean.
What I'm going to do is get everybody's name and then I'm going to swear everybody at the same time. So if you can just step to the side. And, sir, can you step up? Can you state your name and address for the record?
Dr. Scott,
364-9637. Okay, thank you.
Constance Bond, 31069 Bay Haley Street.
Okay, thank you.
No. Danny Barkhart, 37730 Woodland Lake.
Thank you.
Sarah Powell, 37716
Laguna. Okay. Do you all swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. And when you step up to the podium, please state your name again for the record. We do have the letters that have been submitted, so if you've provided that or anything like that, that is already in the record. And just you have the opportunity to speak. Just if you try to not be redundant, if somebody says something that you've already heard and you're fine with it, you can say that too. So I believe you were first doctor, so you can have at it.
If I may, I'd rather go last because I've had a civil engineer to speak first. That's okay.
Okay.
Put you on the spot.
Okay. Sarah Powell, 37716 Lagoon Lane. I've lived on Lagoon Lane for 8 years. I recently purchased the property with my husband in November. So even though I'm a new property owner to Lagoon Lane, I've lived on this street since 2008.
What property is yours?
The second one down Lagoon Lane.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so I'm directly across from it. My parcel is higher than the parcel in question. And although I know Sussex Conservation District or some other representatives might be responsible for making sure it doesn't flood, it is still a big concern of ours on the street, and I know you've already heard it, but it's a lower property. There's the ditch that runs along, and it's pretty much like a tidal ditch. It'll come and come out, and once it fills up max capacity in that ditch, it flows over Lagoon Lane and then into our properties. And so if anything were to be raised, you trucking a bunch of fill dirt, then it's just going to be pushed up and then over onto our property. If you put four more driveway pipes along that ditch, then you have four more pipes to maintain, flush. You know, how are they going to get across the ditch to get into their driveway? Mm-hmm. So that's a big concern of ours, and I do believe that it will adversely affect the drainage on my parcel by pushing water onto me. Whether it's one home or four homes, you know. I understand that it's a lot smaller on our side, but we also are waterfront. And the houses that we are in, my house was built in like 1969. You know, it was there. It was developed like that. The other parcels in the community are more like larger sizes. And other people can talk to that, you know. But it could adversely affect their property value if you were to start part and parcel this property off in smaller pieces. So with the flooding, you know, you heard our comments, sewer, power, water, the water table could go down. I mean, we don't have municipal water. It's all well water. If you tap into that four more times than you're supposed to, you know, over the years, it could go down. And then development perspective. I don't mean to insult anybody, but I do feel that there's an overdevelopment in Sussex County. We did not choose to live in Millville by the Sea. We did not choose to live in a Beezer home community. We wanted the feel of Rogers Haven. And I think a lot of people that also bought in Rogers Haven bought for that characteristic of not being like a ticky-tack community and being able to have some space and have our sort of trees and not be next to our neighbors as close, you know. So at the end of the day, I thank you for letting me speak, and my husband and I, as well as everybody. I'm a civil engineer. I work for DelDOT. I've worked for DelDOT for 11 years. I am very familiar with road planning. I am involved in highway construction projects. I was actually the manager of the Route 26 project. And I have concerns that if you add a bunch more entrances onto this road, you know, the structural capacity of the road, and I don't see anything in there about maybe beefing up the road. If you're going to add all those trips to the community a day, how, you know, everybody else has to contribute to the roadway when you start to add property onto it. How are you going to do that? How is she going to do that?
Four more lots on there, would that have impact? How would you figure that?
Yeah, even in the development process, you know, is she going to truck in a bunch of dirt that has, like, you know, 10 ton dump trucks that are coming in, or, you know, just the building, and then when you add in everybody coming in, okay, so it's grandkids coming in, and how many kids do they have? And, you know, it would, I do, like, on average 10 trips per day is per household, and it would have just been two houses, and now it's going to be four houses.
Is that rule of thumb, 10 per house?
Yeah, it can go lower if you're more of an elderly, you know, person, or it can go higher if you're more of a young and active person and you're not consolidating trips as we should to preserve the environment. But
okay, thank you.
You mean 10 trips a day per person?
10 trips a day per household.
Per household. Mm-hmm.
Per household.
What's the age like that for?
Huh?
The age?
Yeah, I would. That's what I was saying. It can go lower if you're more of like an elderly, but on average.
Mm-hmm. Would you have a problem with three?
I definitely don't want to restrict this person from using her property, you know, as within accordance with the law. So if three is within accordance with your zoning and the MR zone, you know, I just would like it to be done responsibly.
The question I got is that right across the road where you live at, your lot, what size of your lot, and what hers is
that's
not even a question. I mean, it's a
I understand.
I mean, why shouldn't she be able to do hers like that? And on your side, your lots are smaller.
I think it's because it's waterfront, and they wanted to try and share the canal with more people.
But she doesn't have the right to put four on her side because it's not waterfront, though, but she don't have the right to put her four lots in there and still be the same?
According to your zoning code, she does not.
Yeah.
I will let some other
people. I have a question.
Okay.
So what would be the difference in, you're talking about, you're suggesting that she would be bringing in dirt, or may bring in dirt. So what would be the difference in her bringing in dirt regardless of how many lots?
It would still be bringing in dirt and adversely affecting if it floods over to our property.
Okay, is the flooding from rainwater or from tidal?
It's both. I mean, you really don't...
What's most of the flooding from?
Tidal,
okay.
So if you were going to pave it, you know, how would it would impervious, you know, you would change the impervious factor. I understand your
But that doesn't change anything as far as tidal.
Do that. Yeah.
Now, again, if she decided to build, to raise the property as it is with just two lots, what's the difference?
That it meets the current zoning code. It's within the regulations. That would be a big...
Yeah, I just don't understand what... whether she adds dirt one way or the other, what that has to do with the difference in two lots or four.
It's a power of two.
I wasn't asking you, ma'am.
One at a time, please. Go ahead, ma'am.
I still think that it needs to meet your regulations of the MR zoning.
Okay, thank you.
But ma'am, I'm with him on it. If she just had one lot in there, and he put five loads of dirt in that thing to bring everything up, that would, but it meets the code, so.
But it would still be legal for, in my eyes.
It'd be legal, but water stuff, you're saying you're worried about the water, but if it's up.
Okay, but so where is the hardship that she needs to put four there then? Besides having a grandkid. I wish I could get some inherited house too, but where's the hardship to make it four lots as opposed to one or two?
Good point.
The hardship is she has five children that she would like to give something to equally.
I would love that as well if I had a person that could do that.
Hopefully you won't be in that position.
You know, we don't decide how many kids each kid has or how many kids we have, you know.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the time. Hello.
Eileen Barnhart, 37730 Lagoon Lane. I'm addressing the application on the merits of the request for a variance. And in my interpretation, criteria number one, answer number one, the narrowness of the property is not sufficient as a reason to cite to award a variance. They're challenging the depth of the width is narrow, but there's nothing narrow about it as it meets the MR district requirements of 75 feet with 100 feet depth. They didn't specify, they didn't really elaborate on what the exceptional practicality difficulties were, and the narrowness does not directly affect the minimum square footage, which is the regulation that they're asking a reprieve from. Criteria number two, the applicant hasn't demonstrated that the property cannot be developed without the variance. It is clear that two parcels could be subdivided into three parcels. So it's just getting, you want to have higher density is what she's seeking, and we're saying no, that's not meeting what the criteria is, which is 10,000 square feet. It was frequently referenced that on the south side of the street that the parcels are smaller. Those parcels were developed back in, I believe, 1963, and they were allocated as such. She purchased her lots, I believe, in 1982, it was referenced, and that's the sizes that she purchased. Everything north on the side of Lagoon Lane, all in greater of SS of 10,000 square feet. So it would be in harmony and consistent with the parcels that are contiguous to what she's currently having. Number four, I think I already stated that. Basically, a variance is to relieve a property from a development regulation due to a unique physical characteristic. There's nothing unique. There's nothing, it's not trapezoid, there's no panhandle, it doesn't fall off into the edge of the water. So as you can see, it is a rectangle, which can easily be subdivided in accordance with the current zoning. I do understand about wanting to divide up amongst kids, so on and so forth, but this is really not an estate planning issue, this is a zoning issue. I don't know if there's anything else. Is there any questions for me? Thank you.
Dr. Patricia Riola, 37720 Lagoon Lane. I live directly across from the parcel in question. I'd like to speak to Attorney Hutt's comments, and forgive me if I've misunderstood anything.
Well, address the board, ma'am, if you're going.
I apologize.
Okay.
So I understand that the idea for subdivision, and I'm delighted to hear that there's no desire to build townhomes and rental properties and so forth. It was said that two children and three grandchildren, which is why we need to subdivide to five lots. Is there any going to be future heirs? And then if so, are we going to be back here in 5-10 years from now and ask for further subdivision? I mean, there's just no guarantee about that. We have witnessed a lot of flooding. That is a lower level lot. When there is excess rain and high tide, that those lots are underwater from time to time. And occasionally they do spill over. We do have mosquito issues already on that lot. I also want to speak to some of the criteria for variances. Item number one, uniqueness. To your point, to Attorney Hutt's point about 75% minimum footage, shallow lot prevents additional parcels. So when we're looking at this variance, it's for splitting up additional parcels, but as it's stated right now, it can be built upon. The same thing to point to about the narrowness and the shallowness, again, it's for additional parcels, not for existing parcels that can be built on those properties, on those lots, per zoning. The houses, yes, were built in 50s and 60s prior to any of us being here. We're all fairly, somewhat newer owners, and we are investing large sums of money in renovating our homes at this point. So, of course, we're interested in it continuing to be a nice neighborhood. And again, we don't know really, ultimately, what is the situation, what are the plans to be built on those lots. We really don't know that. And so this is the first step of subdividing, but what's really coming next? I mean, it would be nice, as some of the other cases we've seen tonight, this is what we want to do, and here are the plans, but we don't know that. So it's really difficult to, without all the knowledge, to make a decision, in my mind. That's all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
My name is Constance Bond, and I am the owner of the property that runs alongside the parcel in question, exactly. And my property runs from Bay Haven Street back to the creek, White's Creek.
So the one that says 140?
That is correct.
Thank you.
And as you can see, my house is roughly in the middle of my property. And what I think I'd like to speak to, because some of the other points I was going to make have been made. I've been there for 20 years. I've been an owner there for 20 years. And I believe that Rogers Haven is, being on the other side of White's Creek, the west side of White's Creek, development is really starting to roll across the creek. We have a huge development going in on Clubhouse Road called Solitude, and that's going to be, some people say 110, some say more houses. So a lot of development is suddenly hitting our area. The thing about Rogers Haven is that it's a charming older community where most of the lots, the vast majority of the acreage, is in large lots of a half acre to an acre and a half. My lot is just over an acre. It's 1.2 acres. Now, the applicant states that the smaller lots being requested would not, quote, alter the essential character of the neighborhood, as the properties on the same private road as these properties are 5,000 square feet. However, what the applicant fails to say is that those small lots are canal front lots. They line the only canal that pokes into the neighborhood, and those smaller lots wouldn't be allowed today. Therefore, if the proposed lots, which would not be canal front lots, were allowed, it would set a new precedent of increased zoning density for future development in Rogers Haven as a whole. This precedent would allow for the chopping up of the neighborhood. For example, my property borders the parcel in question, and in this particular case specifically, granting the requested variances would mean that there would be three backyards in a row butting up against just the side of just my front yard. Now, when you go through a neighborhood and you see that kind of carving up of a neighborhood, you know, and I know, that you are looking at a neighborhood that is being degraded, and all the property values start to go down when you chop up a neighborhood in that way. So that's my main point of contention. Finally, on the question of hardship, the code is very specific on this point. The applicant must explain the hardship that the variances would satisfy. And I must ask again, what hardship is satisfied by creating four lots instead of three lots along this substandard right-of-way that lies in a flood zone? There is no such explanation of hardship in this application. Thank you for your time.
Okay.
Good evening, Chairman Calloway. My name is Doug Scott, 36496 Lease Avenue. But I'm speaking tonight for my father, which is a little bit up in age, and he can't make it here. And he lives where it says 1 acre, and that's 37721 Scott's Lane. I have a request. I have a PowerPoint presentation with some pictures mm-hmm. that I'd like to show. Is that possible technology-wise?
If is I give you a flash drive?
Flash drive?
Yep.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Hey, I'm in a strange position. I know this guy.
Wow.
So do we.
I'm sure you did. The other strange position I'm in is I was born and raised on that lot. So unlike the people that are with me, I sort of got a little bit of time in the neighborhood.
Which one am I looking
for? Oh, you do need to know that, don't you? Lagoon Lane. Yes, ma'am. Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Oh, technology.
Yes. And to advance it, can you help me with that?
Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Clicker.
Okay.
Take it back and forth.
Back and forth, okay. Thank you very much. So I've got 2 points, and one I want to try to explain real in length, but the first point has been covered very well. And this is standing on Lagoon Lane looking at those first two lots. And as again, you guys know what the frontage is, but you see the type of homes they are. I want to call them cottages or very small one-story homes. And that's sort of the character of that part of the road. And I'm not going to tell you there's not larger homes on the road, but that's the character pretty much across the street from where they're at. And there's another picture there of the two other homes on the end. So I guess what I'm saying is my understanding is that on the other side of the road, if the lots were able to be divided the way that Patty wants to do it, they could be as tall as, am I right? Mrs. Cornwell can correct me, but they could be 42 feet in height, county code.
Yes, all houses can be, in right. Most zoning districts, can be 42 feet in height.
So I guess all I'm saying from a perspective of growing up there is that across the street could look much, much more different than what's there now. I understand, and Mr. Rickard and Mr. Mills made the point about what's the difference because of the frontages. I understand that. You make a great point. It's a great, counter question. I just wanted to show everybody let you guys see what the difference is. The difference would be very different. It could look very different. So that's point number one. Again, that's just a picture looking down Lagoon Lane on a dry day. And there's the ditch that runs down the property. And there's another look at the ditch. From a different view, but that's the ditch. And then just one more look sort of at the road and the ditch. And you guys think I'm crazy talking about this ditch.
Across the road, is that her property you're talking about?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Right exactly across from that.
Yep. Right yep, there. That's it. And then the apartment building you guys were talking about is the one right there.
Right
yep,
there. Okay.
That's the one you were talking about right there. So I think the pictures help you guys see, what I'm talking about. But anyway, that's that. I say you guys are probably think I'm crazy talking about this ditch, but what happens is It affects my dad's property. There's a culvert pipe across Bayhaven Street that goes along my dad's line, and that ditch basically drains the water from like his property and a couple properties behind his property. And there's like a pond behind one of those homes, depending on the time of year, that actually uses this ditch to drain water out to the bay. That's the way the ditch was designed. And Mr. Ricker made a great point about, you know, whose problem is it? It's not, it really doesn't matter whose problem it is. Here's what happens. Here's the practical aspect is that when we get the title stuff, and everybody, we all know in the whole county, there's places we know historically. I'm in the fire department. A lot of you guys are in the fire department. We know when it's a bad event, we're going to get flooding. The problem is the water comes up this road, across the road, into my dad's property, and surrounds his house. And I'll show you that. That's looking out of sight. That's my dad's house across the street, and that's looking over towards his ditch. Again, that's when my mom used to do all the bird feeders. But anyway, that's the water. That's rain and tidal. That's my dad's front yard, looking over at the property across the street, which you can see is certainly flooded as well. And there's my dad's front yard. All the it's, like Mr. Rickard said, it's not the problem how the water gets there. When those successive tides come in, it comes up Lagoon Lane, comes across the road, and floods my dad's property. And we had problems with that all the time. What the real problem is how does the water get back where it belongs? And without that ditch being maintained, my dad's property as well, we keep our ditch clean. The culvert pipe, we try to work with Gerald Hocker and keep it clean through the state. But then that ditch I showed you, you know, this ditch back here, if that ditch right there isn't maintained going back out, we can't get our water, we can't get our water off our properties. That's the critical factor, the ditch.
Who maintains that ditch?
My dad would tell you that.
Who maintains it? The state does that?
That or? Ditch right there?
Yes.
That's on Patty's property. And whoever's, I mean, I'm not saying it's the best maintained, but it does work.
But nobody maintains it then?
No. Not that I don't want to, I'm supposed to talk to you guys. I don't want to do this, but Patty, I don't think anybody's doing it I don't think the state's doing it, is what I'm telling you.
Okay.
No.
It's not a tax ditch.
I don't believe it is. Not that I know of. I don't believe, my dad doesn't, I live on a property that has a tax ditch and I get those tax ditch meetings. I've never seen my dad get a tax ditch meeting. I don't believe it's a tax ditch.
The chairman will ask that question.
So I guess my concern is if they're going to develop it, if there's any way that this board could put in the record or make it mandatory that drainage ditch be maintained and not shut off, it would make my dad feel 1,000% better because he is worried to death. And I agree with him. I've seen the flooding. If that ditch isn't maintained and that culvert pipe isn't maintained, the water going out's going to sit on my dad's property and probably some people behind him. And that's my big concern about that. I don't know what the board has the power to do.
If they develop these properties, tell me how it's going to affect the ditch. You know, let us know that.
I just, if it could just be maintained open. That's all I'm asking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I don't think it has nothing to do with the lots being developed. It's just that you want that ditch open.
My concern, yes, sir. Okay. And if it's not, if the ditch doesn't flow like it has in years past, mm-hmm. water coming in and water coming out, the water coming out's a problem. The water is going to come in no matter whether the ditch is there or not. I mean, there's no. When it gets like, let's see here, I don't have a great picture of the road. When it gets like this, that water has already come up Lagoon Lane. Everybody that lives on Lagoon has moved their car somewhere else, and they're waiting for that fourth day or fifth day of that wind to turn around and blow that water back out. But without the ditch being maintained on the road, we're my dad's in trouble. I mean, that's just going to put him in a bad spot.
That ditch, is that where the culverts would be for their lots?
I would say it would be, yes. You have to ask them, but I'd say that they would either have to put culverts in to keep that ditch open.
That's the only way to get into her lot is from that road. We'll ask that question.
You can, but I'm assuming that's the only way they're going to put their four entrances in.
Okay.
That's my assumption.
That's what I was alluding to. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It is going to have an effect on your property.
It does on my dad's.
Okay.
His water, as far as getting that water back out. Listen, getting the water in, Mother Nature takes care of that. Wherever it's low, and the concerns about if they fill in that lot to make it higher, it's going to displace water somewhere else probably. Where that is, I'm not 100% sure. But it's going to go somewhere. We all know, we're living in a pretty low area back there. So,
okay.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I'm ready. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yep.
You can take your flash drive.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Rutt. Were you sworn in a while ago?
I wasn't. Can I? And just add just a couple of seconds.
Your discretion, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I'd called for it three times, sir.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Mr. Trent, do you want to
rebuttal on that?
Going to rebuttal? Nobody has a question when to ask?
Or he could at least answer the questions brought up by the opposition.
Do you want to answer some of those questions?
Sure. I mean, I think with respect to, I'll speak with Mr. and I apologize, I don't know anybody's name except for Mr. Scott, the last person, on a first and last name basis. But with respect to his concerns about drainage, frankly, they were addressed in the opening comments, and the Delaware law says that one neighbor isn't supposed to drain on another neighbor, and what you heard discussed tonight is something that is fairly common and frequent in older subdivisions, and to call this a subdivision is probably, by today's standards, overstating it. Mm-hmm. Rogers Haven has been created over time. There are specific little sections, there's about four of them, that have specified parcels and sizes like you see on the south side of Lagoon Lane with the lots that are uniform widths of 50 by a little over 100. There's three other pockets of that, and then there's sort of the rest of the land, which is the sort of mishmash of parcels that exists to the north side of the subject properties that are tonight, including, you see Mr. Scott's, that's or his father's, that's 1 acre. You heard the testimony of Ms. Bond, which there's the big one. It's 1.2 acres. The bigger numbers there are 140, but that's the tax parcel number. It's not a subdivision as we think of by today's standards as a subdivision. And that's significant not only because of the lot size, but it's also significant because there wouldn't be a provision with how this subdivision was formed. There would not be a provision for stormwater management. The various stormwater management agencies that exist today and would regulate this didn't regulate stormwater management at that time, which is why you have things like the pictures that Mr. Scott showed of a ditch that's not a tax ditch, but that has been very beneficial, apparently, to his father's property over the course of time. And so, again, as was said at the outset, drainage is something that is always going to impact this area, again, regardless of the number of lots that are there, whether that be 2, 3, 4.
Mr. Hutt, isn't there a difference between drainage from stormwater management and drainage from tidal?
Certainly, those are two different things, and neither one of them would have been addressed in the 1950s, 60s, or 70s as this was being put together. That's just the nature of stormwater management, and when you're trying to apply modern standards to pre-existing conditions in older communities.
As part of the subdivision process, your client's going to have to go to Sussex Conservation District. Is that correct?
That would be within the purview of Ms. Cornwell and her staff, but I suspect that they would require the site plan, whether it's a major subdivision or otherwise, to have approval from the Sussex Conservation District. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I got another question. She was talking about her kids, giving five kids for that. And she took that apartment building and made that a home. Would that change then, what you're asking for? You mean we're going to go back and ask about the apartment building right now? And she made that a home for one of her kids. It's not an apartment building anymore, so you don't have anything to worry about, right?
No, that wouldn't change anything. As I said, it's two children and three grandchildren.
Okay.
And so she was looking to give each one of them a piece of property.
Yes.
One of them would get the parcel that you see that has the apartment building on it. One of them, and then three of them would get lots that are being proposed to be created in this application. And as I mentioned, she has another property which she wasn't going to involve in her estate plan, and she was going to give that to the fifth person. So then each person gets a piece of real property.
Well, we were just talking about the apartment building, right? Earlier. Jamie, when we were talking about the apartment building, yes. That's what I thought. And she made that a home for one of her children. That wouldn't even come up with the apartment building at all then, right?
That's correct, Mr. Workman. I mean, the only issue with the apartment building is if, and that's the thing that Ms. Cornwell is going to have to look into. You know, it may be that there is a larger variance required on that one proposed lot than what we had initially put down because of that use.
Yeah.
But as it's proposed as having that apartment building on that one lot, and then three other potential lots for subdivision. Planning and zoning will have to have some level of say on that, either through the minor or major subdivision process.
Okay, so then planning and zoning, she went there and said, hey, we're going to make this not an apartment, but it's going to be a home now. Right. So that would change that thing up.
I don't know that they would get in that purview. I think they're going to look at strictly from a lot subdivision process.
Okay.
Now, typically with that process, they'll have different types of approvals that they'll have to go through, which, okay, you know, some agencies and whatnot will get a say into those things as well. Ms. Cornwell will probably have the better summation of that than I would, but.
Okay. It's going to depend on what process it needs to go through. We're going to have to double check what process, if it needs to go through the full major subdivision or not process. If it's three units, that are within that, three dwelling units within that apartment building, they would need a 1,500 square foot variance, because based on the square footage that would be required.
Okay.
Based on that parcel, that parcel's 9390, so they would need a 1,500 square foot variance if they were going to do.
So that's on the proposed lot four.
Correct. And that would be for the multifamily if it's just three units.
So basically, as it is proposed right now, Ms. Cornwell, we're looking 1,172 on lot 1, 1,153 on lot 2, 929 on lot 3, and 1,500 on lot 4.
Yes, and that's because right now it's a multifamily dwelling.
Sure. And if it was not a multifamily dwelling, then it would just be 610 square feet.
Correct.
Okay.
So that's the only difference, Mr. Wood,
okay,
we have before us tonight anyhow.
Okay.
Okay. Alrighty. That's all the opposition. The chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we table case number 11,971 to give the office staff a chance to check out the questions about the apartment issue. And also, I'd like to go over some of this documentation we've had. We've had a lot of testimony here tonight,
okay,
and I'd like to go over that too.
So table that until the July 10th
meeting. I didn't recall that. Yeah.
Okay.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Yeah, a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Workman that we table case number 11,971 till our next regular meeting, which is July the 10th, 2017. All those in favor of the motion? Mr. Mills?
Aye.
Mr. Ware?
Aye.
Mr. Workman?
Aye.
And I, Mr. Callaway. So by a vote of 4-0, case number 11,971 is tabled.